Deputy Minister, let me start off by apologizing. We were told earlier that you are outside. I don't know what happened. I think there was a communication breakdown between our organizers because the first department was social development. We really apologize for that. But having said that, we are here now. I'm not sure whether your team is all here because of that disorganization. If you are in your full complement, we can start with our meeting. Taking note that this is the most important department, water and sanitation. We know the challenges that we have out there in terms of water and sanitation. But up front, Honorable Minister and the Deputy, we want to appreciate your presence. And we realize that you are taking this committee serious, as we do take the department very serious because of its importance. But also say that we're not policing, we don't want to police. For us, oversight is a strengthening of the department. We are here to strengthen the department. Because sometimes when you're very close to activities and function, you may not see some of the things when they're not going well. But with us outside, you will be able, to assist the department to focus on issues that we had promised to do to our people. But I just want to say, Honorable Minister, that we did not get your documents on time. The last updated document, acting DG, we got it yesterday. And it makes it very difficult for us to interact with the documents. Because without information, it becomes difficult. You can't use common knowledge to assist the department. We are requesting that in the future we get documents on time, at least 7 days before. So that members will be able to go through the document. When you come, we make meaningful in contribution to the department. Because we meet you for the first time, we don't want to take for granted that we know each other. If we may introduce ourselves, my name is Kathy Dlamini, chairperson of the Select Committee on Social Services with 5 departments. Water and sanitation, social development, home affairs, health, what is the other department? Human sector. All the med departments. So it's a very tight committee with departments that has to do with service delivery. Next to me is
Thank you very much. I'm Zwane, Lynette Zwane, Kamavung, from KZN, a member of the Select Committee. Thank you.
Chawela, Kizapan Khwedi, Kharuya Mambuvu, he will be a committee.
Thanks, Chairperson. My name is Mdomotle Kaula, a member of the committee.
Morning, honorable members, and our minister and her team. My name is Thandi Mpambo Sibukwana, a member of this committee.
Good morning. My name is Dikang Sok. I'm also a member of the committee. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thanks for your ways of welcoming us. Just to first indicate who I am, my name is Nomvula Mokonyane. I'm the minister of the new department called Water and Sanitation, and I want to humbly apologize, and for today I will take responsibility. knowing very well who was supposed to do that, in ensuring that documentation is presented on time to yourself. I really want to apologize and say I take responsibility, and it will never happen again. And my humble apologies for that. And I'm with a team of senior officials from the department, together with our deputy minister, who I'm going to invite that she introduce herself.
Morning, all of members. My name is Pam Shwete, the Deputy Minister for Water and Sanitation. Thank you very much.
I'm Pomo Fokeng, CFO for Water Trading Entity within the department.
Support for the users.
Good morning, Honourable Chair, members. Trevor Balzer, Acting DG for the Department of Water and Sanitation.
Good morning, Honourable. My name is Deborah Muchosi. I am DG Planning and Information.
Ma'am, I've got two members at the back from my department as well. If I could just introduce them, Verena Mayer is from our Learning Academy, and Telenian Tabeni from his Director Transactions. They're representing my DDG Corporate Services, who's in Limpopo today.
Thank you very much for introductions. At least we can put a face on the name. We have strictly 1.5 hour, Honourable Minister, as you know that afternoon we've got debates. In the NCOP today we've got 4 debates. So we are galloping. But with an understanding that after all these budget votes we will have time to interact with the committee, if they will, with the department, if there will be questions from the committee members, and we have run out of time, we will request that we respond in writing. But hoping that we will have time to interact with the department, I will hand over to you, Honourable Minister. I don't know who will be responsible for the presentation, but from my side, I will hand over to you. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. I really do appreciate the time pressure that we all have, and as you say, we are quite cognizant of the fact that we all are pressed for time. Would really so love to have time to interact as compared to pen and paper. But nonetheless, we do understand. We all are affected by this. What you're going to get, Chair, is a component of what this department is about. We have a department that has just been recently established. I'm sure all of us will remember that it was announced as a new department. What you're going to receive today is on the water component. It was the proclamation on sanitation and the new department was done now after the general elections. So this is a presentation that is informed by the 2014-2015 financial year annual performance plan. However, what we have strived to do was to also reprioritize based on the new mandate and also on how we then implement the national development plan within this adjustment period that we are implementing the new mandate. Thirdly, Chair, that we have also been in a process of looking at the organizational design of the department, and this is work in progress in view of the new mandate that is going to come through. And therefore, our presentation, I know that it will be tempting, and it is automatic that issues of sanitation will emerge in the course of the deliberations, and there are elements of those issues related to sanitation that we can be in a position to respond to. The acting DG is going to lead us on the presentation, and the team in its entirety will be available to add on or clarify where issues are raised by the committee. Then.
Thanks, Honourable Chair, members. Just one of my team are on the way, DDG regulation with the start of the meeting. He was just busy in another assignment and he's on his way. So when he walks in, if we could just accept his apology, please, Honourable Chair. The presentation, as Ministers indicated, we're going to focus on Vote 38 as it was tabled in the appropriation bill. So it's really reflecting on the water component, although there is one slide which I will reflect on some of the sanitation work that's been done by our entities. The content of the presentation, and Honourable Chair, I'm going to not go through every slide in detail because there are some 190 odd slides which we have prepared, and I will skim over some of those slides, but essentially it's in five parts, strategic overview, an overview of the strategic and annual performance plans, the budget of the medium term, the monitoring and evaluation component, and then an overview of the entities, and I'll talk to the entities in a moment. So the baseline documents in which the presentation is prepared is the APP, the annual performance plan, which was tabled in Parliament in March this year, and the E&E, the Vote 38 of the estimates of national expenditure. So those are the baseline documents in which it's covered. Vision, mission. This vision and mission is still the one that relates essentially to water. It does have to, as ministers indicated, through the reorganization of the department into its new department as a Department of Water and Sanitation, that vision and mission will be massaged to reflect the sanitation component of the department as well. The mandate currently which we operate on, we have four principal acts which regulate the work that we do. That's apart from the constitution and all of the other family of acts, the Public Service Act, the Labor Relations Act, etc., which dictate the way we do our management. But the principal acts from our mandate are the National Water Act, that's Act 36 of 98, and the Water Services Act, that's Act 108 of 1997. But let me just say up front, Madam Chair, is that those two acts are the subject of a review process at the moment, and there will certainly be coming through both the Portfolio Committee and the Select Committee the inputs on the review of those two acts. The Water Research Act of 1974-71 has already been, was tabled in Parliament. The Amendment Act was tabled in Parliament last year and will be part of the legacy report from the previous committees, and we just need to rejuvenate, to reactivate that process. And of course the Public Finance Management Act but our entities are also impacted on by the Municipal Finance Management Act as well. And then we've got those policies and strategies which link in to the legislative mandate. Just to give you an idea of the way the department is put together with regard to its entities, we have 14 entities which report to Minister, and if I could just indicate, first of all, the Schedule 3 entities reporting to Minister. You've got the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, which is a Schedule 2 of the PFMA, the Water Research Commission, and that Water Research Commission is the one that has its own act, the Water Research Act, and then the Komati Basin Water Authority are all Schedule 3A. This latter one here, the Komati Basin Water Authority, is a cross-border authority which has representation on it from both South Africa and Swaziland. And then looking at the left side there, we have the catchment management agencies, also Schedule 3A of the PFMA. We are establishing 9 CMAs, and that those are our agencies to deal with local water management at the resource level. We've got two of those agencies established and up and running at the moment. One in the covering catchments in the Western Cape, the Breede Gauritz, and the other one straddling part of Mpumalanga and the northern part of KZN in Komati or Sutu. The other seven, the Limpopo, Pongola, Burg, Olifants, Orange, Tsitsikamma, and Vaal, the de facto CMA responsibilities are performed by our provincial officers of the department. Then we have on the right-hand side here, with the brown block on the top, the water boards, which are Schedule 3B of the PFMA, and those entities essentially, Madam Chair, honourable members, deal with the municipal side of water delivery, and up to now have focused mainly on water delivery, but over the last 18 months we've also been refocusing them to also deal with bulk sanitation. So we've got 9 water boards, Amatola, Bloem, Lepele, Magalies, and Fatuzi, Overberg, Rand, Stedibeng, and Mgani. And in terms of our restructuring process, the intention is to try and have a footprint of a water board in each of the provinces. Currently, there are 2 water boards which are in the process of being disestablished, so you won't see them on there, but you might have reference to their names on the odd occasion. That's Botshelo Water operating in the northwest, and that that board is currently being disestablished, and the activities of that board going into Magalies and Sedibeng Water. And then in Mpumalanga, it's the Bushbuck Ridge Water Board, which has been disestablished, and those functions being assimilated into Rand Water. So those are just the institutions. Just an overview of the budget that we're talking about on a total as a sector budget, which Minister has a direct responsibility for. 2014 financial year is in the order of 38 million. But the part that this committee, which I will be presenting to you today, is the 12.48 billion, which is the published in the estimates of national expenditure. The water trading entity generates an income of 10.3 billion, and I'll touch on the water trading entity during the presentation. That's the entity responsible for the management of our national infrastructure, and the income that's generated through the sale of water is used to operate that entity. Then the water boards, those 10 water boards I've indicated to you, they in total generate an income of some 11.6 billion, and that's also across the footprint which they currently have, the 9 water boards. And then the TCTA, the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, that 3.6 billion represents the operating budget and some work which they're doing on assignment for the department. But essentially the TCTA manage the debtors book for the loan book for the Lesotho Highlands Water Project, which is in the order of 20 billion rand, which was raised for the implementation of phase one essentially of the Lesotho Highlands project, being the Kotse Dam and the Mohale Dam. And we just given a pie diagram there just showing the percentage of that budget across those four sectors. Just in relation to staffing, you'll see that the department has by far the largest staff component of 7,336 staff currently. That obviously is a fluctuating number in terms of natural attrition in the department and new appointments. The water boards collectively have a staff of 5,996. Water Research Commission, quite small in comparison, 62. And then the Trans-Caledon Tunnel Authority, 146. The Komati Water Basin Water Authority, 43. And the two CMAs, 65 staff. So that's the total staff complement, which effectively forms part of Minister's direct family. Minister and Deputy Minister, my colleague. Pushing the wrong button now. Then just looking at the factors that influence the planning process, and this is not reflected, Honourable Chair members, in any hierarchy. It's just through convenience that we show this on the outer circle. Is our mandate coming from the Constitution and the legislation that I have already indicated. Then we have our international agreements, and the reason I'll just touch on this in a moment. Internationally, it's dealing with our Millennium Development Goals, and you'll see us reference that later on in the document. The framework for climate change, and then the Sustainable Development Goals. Those Sustainable Development Goals are part of the post-2015 development agenda, because the MDGs, as we know them today, run up until 2015, and we have Sustainable Development Goals which follow us 2015 beyond. In terms of government priorities, it's the National Development Plan, the medium-term strategic framework, and that's the 14 outcomes of government, and the new growth path. Our interdepartmental programs, and I've just listed the key departments that we deal with. Essentially, with water, we actually impact on nearly every department in government, but the key departments are agriculture, forestry and fisheries, trade and industry, Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, Cooperative Governance, Human Settlements, Environment Affairs, and Economic Development. And in terms of the implementation sphere, where we touch on the provinces, it's the impact of the Provincial Growth and Development Strategy and the IDPs at the local government level. And then, of course, the oversight, which, if we depicted that block in terms of hierarchy, that oversight would be the ring or the elastic, the band which covers all of the work we do, is the National Assembly and the NCOP. And then the three enabling departments I've listed there are the Department of Performance, Monitoring and Evaluation, where our 12, 14 outcomes are reported into the DPME, the Department of Public Service in terms of our staffing and our organizational arrangements, and then of course National Treasury in terms of the budget and that 10.4 billion that I made reference to. 12.4 billion, sorry. That slide, quite a busy slide, Madam Chair, in terms of the way we manage our performance. We work on a balanced scorecard, and that just indicates the five strategic objectives, the four strategic objectives across the top, or strategic goals in terms of efficient, effective development of the sector, equitable, sustainable provision of raw water, provision of equitable sustainable water services, and protection of ecosystems. That obviously, as we move forward and consolidate as a water and sanitation department, will also have to be amended to reflect sanitation adequately there as well. And then we look at the normal four, let's cut off on the screen there, on the balanced scorecard,
the issues of stakeholders, our customers, the operations side, finance, and then employment, our people. And the cross-referencing there in terms of strategic objective, as they numbered there, those numbers align with the number convention that we've used in the annual performance plan as well. So you can track them directly back, and the arrows to show the various interlinkages. But Madam Chair, honourable members, when we have more time, we'll be able to unpack that scorecard in greater detail. But that's a scorecard that we will also measure our performance against. The alignment of those goals, which I've, if you just go back there, those four goals that I have indicated on the top there, those goals are aligned then with the government priorities and our strategic objectives. So sandwiched between there, I've just indicated which of the outcomes and the priorities of government link into the four goals and then link to our strategic objectives. So you'll see in terms of the efficient, effective development of the sector, as outcome 12, which deals with the public service, outcome 4 on employment, outcome 13 on the NDP, the MDGs, and in particular MDG 1B, which is the productive employment and decent work for all. Then in terms of equitable and sustainable raw water, that's outcome 6, which is infrastructure, chapter 4 in particular, the NDP, and media, MDG 7C, which is sustainable access to safe drinking water. And then under the equitable sustainable water services, that's outcome 9, which is the local government outcome, chapter 13 of the NDP, and then MDG 7C, which is access to safe drinking water and basic sanitation. And then the protection of the ecosystems is outcome 10 on the environment, in particular chapter 5 of the NDP and MDG 7, which is an environmental sustainability. So you'll see the linkage between some of the international requirements we have to report on, the national requirements in terms of the outcomes, and then that flows back into our strategic objectives, which I will cover on the slides going forward. So how is the department organized? The budget, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members, is still on 6 programs, and you won't find the sanitation program there. That'll come out, that'll come in once we deal with the adjustment appropriation later on in this year, once those functions are transferred to us from Department of Human Settlements. So the 6 programs are administration, and under administration, that's the normal activities which are common to all departments across government, the ministry, departmental management, internal audit, corporate services, finance, and office accommodation. We then have the water sector management as a program, and that's where we do our policy and planning, integrated planning, policy and strategy issues, water ecosystems, water information management, institutional oversight, water services management, and that's at the local level, and water use authorization. And the water use authorization deals with the licensing processes. Then we have a ring-fenced unit within the department, which is our water infrastructure management. This year represents the budget that would be transferred from the main account into the water trading entity, but that water trading entity operates as a self, generally as a self-funding unit, where the activities of the management of that infrastructure are managed on the basis of the income that we get from the sale of water. Regional implementation and support, that's essentially the work that's done within the provinces, where we have the regional bulk infrastructure, the transfer of water schemes, our support services, our water services projects, the activities that we do in terms of integrated catchment management, and the licensing activities that happen at a provincial level. And then within those provinces where we have a mining activity taking place, we have mine water management, and that's dealing with the acid mine drainage in particular. Water Sector Regulation Program 5 is the economic and social regulation, water resources regulation. We have compliance monitoring and enforcement that takes place there,
And then we were also, while we didn't have sanitation as a function of the department in terms of direct implementation, we still had a regulatory responsibility over sanitation in terms of the Water Services Act, and in particular Section 10, 9 and 10 of the Water Services Act in terms of norms and standards. And then lastly, Madam Chair, honourable members, we also have an international water cooperation component where we deal with Africa cooperation and global cooperation, and that deals with the international and local agreements that we have on water management. If you just think of the Africa cooperation, have I got that slide available here? You haven't pulled it up, eh? The one showing the map of South Africa. Okay, just while I talk to you, just try and find it. South Africa, I've lost something. We share 5 major river courses with our neighbours, immediate neighbours that we're sharing with, being Namibia, Botswana, Zimbabwe, Mozambique, Swaziland, and Lesotho. And in terms of those rivers that we share, those shared rivers cover 60% of the land mass of South Africa, and we get 40% of our water from those shared water courses. So there's a need for us to have international agreements in place in terms of the management of that water across that slide three. In terms of the management of that water on an international basis. So that being the border of South Africa, as we have it, that's the Limpopo catchment, the Nkomati catchment, and this is the Orange River, the river catchment, Orange River catchment. Sorry, that's Maputo catchment. And you can see the area that those catchments cover in South Africa, and mainly draining either east into the Limpopo and the Maputo and the Nkomati rivers, and west into the Orange River. Okay, back to the normal slides. So the office operates on a decentralized management arrangement where we have, apart from the strong head office that we have in Pretoria, we have 9 provincial offices. So we have an office which is close to the provincial capital of each of the provinces. Then with regard to our construction unit, we've got 4 construction sites. And the one down here in the Western Cape would be the southern construction site, and then I deal later on with the Cam William Dam. That would be the responsibility typically of that southern construction unit, and then we have 4 clusters which operate our 350 odd dams that we have spread across the country. Those clusters do not follow provincial boundaries. They've been clustered on the basis of the infrastructure that we manage and around the way that the catchments fall. The sanitation function, I'm just going to deal with 2 slides quickly just to put it into perspective for you, Madam Chair, honourable members, is that we have a project which is called the NMOS in acronym. It's the National Macro Organization of the State project, which is being run through the Presidency and supported by the Department of Public Service and Administration for the transfer of the functions between those departments affected by the realignment, which was announced by the by the President when Honourable President set up the new cabinet. And we are working with 5, 6 work streams, through from organizational scoping right down to labor relations. And the critical part around that project plan is that the key dates being the 26th of September in each case, where the creation of the new departments
excuse me, and the function transfer is scheduled to take place on the 26th of September this year. Likewise, on the finance and budget, 26th of September this year, and all of the legal matters also transferred at that stage. And that will fit in with the cycle for the adjustment appropriation bill later on in this year. Madam Chair, from our own budget, as a contribution which we made last year, and that was around a three-party ministerial component which was put together between Cooperative Governments, Water Affairs at the time, and Human Settlements, which has been loosely referred to as the Sanitation Troika. The department set aside a budget of 260 million rand, which we allocated out of savings, or reprioritization, should I say, excuse me, within the department to kickstart. I'm speaking too fast and the mouth is getting dry. Sorry, ma'am. So that amount was put into a combined budget to start with the bucket eradication program, and that's the program to eradicate the 88,000 buckets in formal settlements, across the country. Then just looking at the main account, Honourable Chair, members, I'm not going to go through each one of these line by line, but this is a representation of the matrix which is in our annual performance plan, and I'll just deal with this one just so that we follow the trend. This deals with our corporate services, and the strategic objective there is to improve and increase the skills pool, build competencies in the department and within the sector. And then we have our sub sub programs below that, which covers the percentage attendance of training, dealing with the vacancy rate, the graduate training program, the learning academy intake, and then the second strategic objective being effective and efficient internal control environment, which relates around to our IT systems. So those items are all listed follow a particular numbering sequence in the APP annual performance plan, which has been tabled and which you have before you. Let me just go to program two, just typically deal with program two. One of the sub-programs there being the water information management, with two strategic objectives. Under that there is improving water resources and water services information. The second one, improving the protection of water resources, and there are a number of activities within that, and with the targets for 2014. Just picking one up as an example, this one here, PPR 25, number of gauging stations, 1,600. Those gauging stations are spread across the country, and they are very key in terms of our information system in measuring the flow in rivers to be able to help us not only for flood management, but also in terms of our planning and our scenario planning going forward to make sure that we have water security in the country. I'll just skip then on to program four, and by way of example there, Madam Chair, the Regional Bulk Program, which is one of the grant-funded programs in the department. One of the strategic objectives there to be implement programs that create job opportunities, and through our infrastructure programs we are able to create a number of jobs which will be consolidated. We'll roll up those numbers, but through the regional bulk infrastructure program in particular, during the 2014-15 year,
we'll create 2,441 jobs. Now, those are over and above the employment figures which I showed in that pie diagram up front. These are not permanent jobs in the department, but those are jobs that are created while we are implementing the project. So they're short-term job opportunities. In terms of the infrastructure that we're developing, the number of bulk infrastructure schemes under construction, the 82 of those under construction, and in the APP, they're scheduled in what's the annexure number in the APP, if you've got it in front of you. They are scheduled at the back of the APP, where you'll see the 82 schemes listed by name and the province where they are. And of those 82 we're implementing currently, 10 of them are scheduled for completion during the current financial year. We also have two wastewater treatment works which will be completed during the current financial year of the 82 projects. Water sector support, I'm just going to hang into regional implementation for a moment, because that's where the work happens in the at a provincial level. Have you got that APP for that? Just I've got it electronically and I can't access it. Let's access my computer. So the number of job opportunities which will typically be created through a war and leaks program, as an example, are 5,916, and that relates, Madam Chair, to one of our activities relating to water conservation and demand management. And if you followed some of the programs that took place on Friday, this past Friday, on International Mandela Day, there was a war and leaks program which was covered in the media quite extensively, where Deputy President and Minister were at in Mafeking. So typically that program runs across the country in various identified municipalities. The volume of water that we intend to save through improved water use efficiency is some 8.1 million cubic meters per annum. It's a very significant figure, because if you look at the current estimated water or non-revenue water in the municipalities, we estimate that some 37% on average of the water that's supplied to municipalities across the country doesn't find its way to the consumer. It's either wasted due to poor infrastructure or general or through illegal or unauthorized access to water, and generally through water leakage at a household level as well. And just to reflect on another key program, when I come to the budget, Honourable Member, Chair, and that's on slide 27, we're going to hope to impact 144,000 households in 24 district municipalities through the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant Program. That's a very targeted grant program which we started implementation with in July of 2013. So it's a fairly new program, and it's linked directly to the outcomes of the outcomes 9 and 10. That's the local government outcome and the environmental outcome. Further, in terms of jobs created through those particular through additional programs, and that's around the our resource per farmer program, 41 in terms of rainwater harvesting, 285, and the Adopt a River program, 295. That bottom Adopt a River program is a program where we encourage municipalities and communities to adopt a river. We help them with cleanup programs, and through our water boards, we also employ certain, we focus on women in particular,
where we do cleanup programs in those rivers. And if you followed the press around the Eastern Cape in particular, this past Friday as well, Deputy Minister was involved in a cleanup program in the Dua River in the Butterworth, town of Butterworth. So those programs spread across the country as well. In terms of the assistance to resource poor farmers with access to water, we hope to access or touch 642 resource poor farmers, and in terms of rainwater harvesting, 1,700 water tanks implemented. Madam Chair, I'm just selecting from the slides because if I go through every slide in detail, it'll take quite some time. Just in terms of the this support to the water sector, immediately after 1994, the department took responsibility for the management of all of the water infrastructure that was previously the responsibility of the homeland, erstwhile homeland governments, and also the provincial administrations. Those came into the department as a holding point, and then from 2001 onwards, they were transferred to local government. And we still have, as a part of that residue of that transfer process from 2001, there are 56 schemes which, through the water services operating subsidy, still get we're still doing refurbishment on those schemes. Then around mine water management, this particular program, I indicated that the mine water management covers those provinces where we have mining taking place. So essentially the provinces which would be impacted are KZN, in terms of the old coal mines in KZN, Mpumalanga, Limpopo, Northwest, Gauteng and Northern Cape in particular, and the southern, the northern parts, northwestern parts of the Free State. This program, which we have referenced here, relates in the main to the AMD program we have in place for the Witwatersrand area, where we have we're dealing with the decant of acid mine drainage in the Krugersdorp area and in the central and the eastern basins going right through to Springs. The water sector regulation, Madam Chair, that particular component of the budget is intended to make sure that we implement the provisions of the National Water Act and the Water Services Act, and within that regulatory environment, we also deal with the pricing of water, and currently we are revising the water pricing strategy. That's the strategy which we deal with for the determination of the cost of water from all of our government water schemes, and we hope to get that finally gazetted during the current calendar year 2014. In terms of the regulation over municipalities, we have two regulatory programs in place which we call the Blue Drop, which covers water treatment provision, and the Green Drop, which is on the wastewater side. So we've assessed 1,084 water supply schemes and the Blue Drop, and 1,025 collector systems, 1,028 apology, in the Green Drop. And through that reporting that we do, which is a self-reporting from the municipalities, we then assist the municipalities putting in action plans and help them with their budgeting to bring those schemes up to the correct operating standard. We also, from the department, have some intervention programs through our accelerated infrastructure program to support work both from the water supply and the sanitation side. Do you have the slide? Do you have access to it, the one on the Green Drop? Okay. Madam Chair, given time, I can pull up a slide later on just to show the status of the sanitation systems across the country, which will give you an indication of why we see the current levels of pollution in some of our rivers because of the poor operation of the wastewater management systems within within local government, and it is certainly an area of focus of the department. I would just use by way of example the intervention that the minister was involved in very few days after her appointment of Minister of Water and Sanitation in Bloemhof, just using that by way of an example, where because of the poor management of that infrastructure there, we had to intervene following the death of those babies, and you'll see more of that type of intervention across identified municipalities where we put those programs in place, and we'll work with province and the municipalities to turn back the poor management which we currently see of the wastewater systems. We then, around the compliance monitoring, we cover during the current year, we will deal with the dam safety of 140 dams. Within the National Water Act, Madam Chair, we have certain dams which are dams which have a dam height of greater than 15 metres, and I think it's a capacity of more than 50 million litres. They fall within the dam safety compliance requirements, and we will be doing inspections of 140 of those dams to make sure that there's compliance. We will do compliance on 100 mines, and these are the other users that we will be monitoring as well, and that's through our CME unit. Around the International Water Cooperation, Madam Chair, the Program 6, we just list there the number of partnerships, new partnerships, which we will be looking at during the current financial year, and then the implementation of 10 agreements in Africa which are in place already, and in the global cooperation, the 6 agreements which we have in place with other countries. Essentially on a global level and also within Africa, those are normally on the basis of where South Africa as a country has got binational agreements with other countries within Africa or globally, where we would have agreements in place on cooperation around sharing of information, training, and also on best practice around water resources management. I'm now going to just deal quickly with the water trading entity. And the water trading entity, you'll recall on the one of the slides where I showed the six programs, I showed one of those programs which I called, I said, a rubber band around it, and that was Program 3 under infrastructure development. That feeds into the water trading entity, and that's the self-funding unit within the department, of which Mpho Mofokeng on my right here is the chief financial officer. Those activities, Madam Chair, are structured in the same way on the programmatic basis as we have within the main account, so I won't go through those in details, but I'm going to go through to the one which deals with the infrastructure management, in particular Program 3, and through the water trading entity in terms of new project development during the current year. We estimate that we could create some 4,050 jobs, and that's around the infrastructure development program. We list then some of the projects which we are involved with the implementation of at the moment. The 71A to D relates to the Olifants River Water Resources Development Project, but those of you who might be from Limpopo would know that is the De Hoop Dam and the bulk distribution system that goes from De Hoop Dam into Sekakuni up towards the Flagbushela Dam, and up towards Prayson. And that's the project that we are talking about there. We then also have the Mokolo River Augmentation Project, and that's the project taking water essentially to Medupi and also to Lepalale. The Mdoti in KZN, which is the raising of the Hazelmere Dam. And then I made reference earlier on to the Western Cape when I spoke about that Southern Construction Unit, and that's the raising of the Clan William Dam. And those of you who are familiar with some of the work in the Western Cape, we've already started with the realignment of the M7, and anticipate that in October this year we'll start with on work on the dam. Moving back into Limpopo, on the Greater Letaba River, we've got a proposed new dam on the Nwamitwa, which we call the Nwamitwa Dam, which is in design stage. And then there's also the raising of the Tsanin Dam, the existing Tsanin Dam, to improve the capacity in the Greater Letaba area. You recall earlier on I spoke about dam safety. All of our dams which the department owns also go through the same dam safety regulations as privately owned dams do, and we have a program at the moment where we do rehabilitation on our own dams. We'll create 84 job opportunities through that, that's just part of the temporary opportunities created as we implement the dam safety program. And if I could just reference back to the Clan William Dam and also to the Hazelmere Dam, part of the reasons for the and what will be dealt with during the raising of both Hazelmere Dam and the Clan William Dam is to deal with the stability of those dam structures as well, because if you look at them from a dam safety point of view, they, in terms of the new global benchmarking, they don't meet all of the safety requirements, so we do have to stabilize those structures as well. Then looking at the budget, Madam Chair, this is the budget, the 12.4 billion which we're reflecting on for the current year, 12.48 billion. And I showed...
I think, can I just check something? When do you want to do this, the pollution or sanitation flight? Because it's important. I'm just looking at our time. When do you want to do it? At the end of the presentation.
Ma'am, I showed up two of the sanitation slides up front. That's the extent of what I will make as an input today around sanitation. Because we're still in the process of engagement with human settlements on the transfer of those functions. So if you look at the budget that was set aside for human settlements with input from National Treasury on the 88,000 buckets that have to be eradicated, there's 1.4 billion rand which has been top sliced from one of the grant programs within human settlements, and I'll give you the correct grant name in a moment.
My apologies.
Yeah.
I'm not referring to that
when
I saw the presentation.
Yeah. Okay. Ma'am, can I do it at the end? Because that'll just, I've got to just look for it and find it if I could. Now we've got, there we are. And I'll do it at the end if I could. Is that okay? Sorry, I misunderstood you there for a moment. My apology. In terms of the budget then, ma'am, we show the budget split from administration down through to the program 6, which is International Water Corporation. So the smallest allocation of 32 million goes to International Water Corporation. Biggest part of the budget, 7.7 billion, goes to regional implementation and support, and that's where the infrastructure projects are implemented. That's why you see that large amount there. So if you look at it on the pie diagram, 62% of our budget goes into essentially into infrastructure development. But I'll come in a moment to the way that budget is broken down, but quite a large percentage of the department's budget is ring-fenced in terms of earmarked and identified funds. This infrastructure management, that 2.9 billion represents the transfers from the main account which go into our trading operation for the implementation of some of those schemes which I referenced, the ORDP, let me call it the DWIP scheme, the Mokolo, the Hazelmere, and the Clan William Dams. So those are some of the budget transfers that come from the main account to deal with the social component, so to speak, of those projects. If you then look, Madam Chair, at the economic classification, I won't dwell on that very much. It says we just showed that 12.8 billion in terms of compensation of employees, goods and service, interest, transfers and subsidies, and the payment for capital assets. So this 9.5 billion is around the infrastructure program, essentially. If you then look at that in terms of earmarked funds, and here we've listed the programs, so you'll see that of the 12.4 billion of the department, only 29% of that budget is used for our normal departmental programs in terms of implementing our planning, running the department, doing our regulatory activities, our international cooperation. The rest of the budget, 71%, goes into conditional grants, 8%, specifically and exclusively appropriated, 43%, and earmarked for water infrastructure, 20%. So a very big portion of our budget, and we then show it on the side here, the specifically and exclusively appropriated, which is 5.3 million, that's the regional bulk infrastructure, the water services operating subsidy, the municipal infrastructure grant, and then you also have the conditional grants. And the reason that we have some conditional grants on the water services, these are two direct subsidies, is that the water services operating subsidy and the municipal infrastructure grant are split in terms of the Division of Revenue Act, which we colloquially make reference to DORA, the Division of Revenue Act, where you've got Schedule 5 and Schedule 6, Schedule 5 being an indirect grant where we implement projects on behalf of local government, and Schedule 6 being, have I got them in the right order? And Schedule 6 being the direct grant where those funds are transferred to local government for implementation directly. And that's why you see us making reference to the conditional grants and then the specifically and exclusively appropriated. Madam Chair, I'm not going to go through all of the numbers unless you want me to. We then go through and break it down by sub-program, and that's all listed in the Estimates of National Expenditure. Program 2 likewise, Program 4. Just there, I'll just point out one of the big numbers, regional bulk there, 4.565. That's the infrastructure grant programs that I referred to earlier on. Water sector regulation, sub-programs, international water cooperation. You'll see we have a very similar budget that we spend, Honourable Chair, members, on Africa cooperation and our global cooperation in the order of 11 and 12 million rand. Then just to confirm, Madam Chair, that we have our spending plans in place, the readiness plans are in place, they align to our demand plans, and that's in terms of the instructions given to us by National Treasury, and we do conduct monthly and quarterly reviews on financial performance, but we also do monthly and quarterly reviews, but we do quarterly reviews on the non-financial performance of the department, and we use that scorecard which I showed in one of the earlier slides.
Acting DJ, I just have to check something with members. This time it's one. Now, I want to check with you, have you covered most of the important parts of your presentation? Because you spoke to your priorities, the alignment, and the budget. Now you are getting to the details, the problem. The problem. Now, I want to check with the members. One now. Can we give them up to half past? Or what do we do?
This is a compromise. Let's continue until half past two, half past one. Because we've got a sitting that, you know, strategic planning. It's very one on one.
Do we agree? She's saying let's compromise until half past one, but that will include questions. Are we fine with that? DJ, can I give you 10 minutes if it's fine with you?
Will do. Thanks, ma'am.
Okay.
Ma'am, the detail is in the slides, but I would like to just move on to, I think for the MCOP in particular, if you look at the Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant, that's the Schedule 5 part, we just show that the budget allocations are on a provincial basis, that Municipal Water Infrastructure Grant, Madam Chair, is the one that targets the 24 district municipalities which were identified by Cabinet 3 years ago, and we now have a grant funding program which supports the water delivery side of that, and the key thrust of this program is to deal with the 4.7% it was at the time of communities who still don't have access to water, to be able to put interim water supplies in while we bring in the long-term supplies at an RDP standard. So it's a stopgap scheme focused on the 24 district municipalities. That's the Schedule 6B. We just showed the one being the work that we implement as a department, $534 million. And the 524, which goes directly to the municipalities. As we implement the program, more and more of the program will be implemented directly through the department using our water boards as well. Because what we're finding is that we target here through the MWIG the 24 poorly performing district municipalities, but we transfer money to them, but they don't have the capacity to actually do that spend. So in the outer years, you'll see more of that budget being spent directly by the department as a Schedule 5 rather than a Schedule 6. This does also, Madam Chair, I must just indicate, present quite a challenge to the department when it comes to our audit, because while we might have systems in place to manage how we transfer the money to municipalities, when you get to the municipal end, you don't have the same system of controls in place, and it does have a negative impact on the way the Auditor General views our audit. The water services operating subsidy, those are just the numbers relating to the transfers into the provinces around the Schedule 6B, that's the direct support. You'll see most of that going into Limpopo at the current time. The accelerated infrastructure grants, Madam Chair, Honourable Members, is not fair. While we call it a grant, it's not a grant from the designated through the Division of Revenue Act. It comes out of that 29% portion of our own budget, where we prioritised a budget to do interventions in the provinces, and you'll see that the greatest amount that goes there are Eastern Cape, Free State, KZN, Limpopo, Northern Cape and North West, and there's also quite a substantial input into the Western Cape. A lot of this year goes into water conservation and demand management, and also assisting those municipalities with the refurbishment of wastewater treatment works. The bulk infrastructure grant program, this is a $4.6 billion,
and you'll see the allocation to deal with the bulk infrastructure projects, with by far the biggest allocation going to KZN of 1.17. But the detail of the 88 projects which are covered within that budget are in an annexure at the back of the APP, Madam Chair. Just and then I go to a comparison of our voted versus earmarked funds. I've given you some figures of our departmental expenditure as at June 2014, just to reference us against the monitoring that we do, and then also show the expenditure on the infrastructure program, where in total, with a 6.61 billion at the end of June, we had spent 410. Now, this is quite out of kilter because of the fact that the municipalities, their big spend starts from 1st of July, because they work on a different financial year to us. So that's where we see the pickup in the spending on the current financial year. Madam Chair, I can also do a similar analysis on the water trading entity, and what I will do is just show the broadly the finances, but I expected revenue out of on the right slide. Paul, where is the 2.6 billion that I'm looking for? No, I'm on the wrong slide. Yeah, no, I was looking for 2014. Yeah. Where is the surplus? Up there. It is there. That one here. So the overall income of in the water trading entity this year is 10.3 billion, which is used for the operation and maintenance of our projects. Currently, we have 2.5 billion, which is unallocated, and we will be working with Minister and Deputy Minister just to confirm the projects which will be implemented through that that unallocated part. The reason we don't allocate it up front is because we really need to see how we perform against our projected revenue income, and we only start allocating once we are confirmed on the revenue stream coming in. So much of the revenue that we might show as a surplus during the current year, the expenditure around that would be seen in the subsequent financial year, once we know that we've got the money in the bank to be able to do that. We also just show there on slide 67 a debtors analysis. My CFO is running quite a tight book around the debtor management, and that's one of the reasons why we're able to show an improved income on the program, and are able to reference that 2.5 billion that I showed. I'll just put this slide in, Madam Chair, just to show where the funding comes from. The funding is allocated. This is the augmentation out of the main account, and the 2.5 billion from the main account, which is infrastructure, NWRI support, finance, and this ECC6 upgrade. That's the upgrading of our SAP Enterprise Resource System, which is the platform that we work on. Madam Chair, I would stop there and ask if I could just find that slide on the wastewater treatment works, if I could, just to show the picture across the country. Included, while Chalky just looks for that, Madam Chair, what we have also included in your pack is just an overview of all of the entities. We've included in the pack details of all of the entities reporting to Minister in terms of just a high level around their income and expenditure and some of the key programs which they will implement during the current year as well. And that is from I think I should go to that, in fact. I think I should just part E. Let's slide it.
How far away from the Clean Orange?
Sorry, ma'am.
How far away from the Clean Orange?
Madam Chair, one of the reasons, and I should have apologized for my second CFO who's busy working on the audit at the moment. We the Auditor General is has already issued the management letter from the for the water trading entity, and it looks like we're going to have a substantially better audit than what we had last year. I don't want to predict a clean audit, but it's going to be substantially better because anything can happen between now and the final outcome, the audit opinion which I get. But the meeting I had with Auditor General yesterday is looking quite good. I left our CFO main account back home today because they're busy cleaning up around accruals and on the asset side. On the assets, and it relates mainly to our grant-funded programs and the ability to access that information from the municipalities. So that management report I'm expecting to get by the weekend with an indication. So I'm confident around the trading account. I'm less confident of a big improvement on the main account, but we're moving in the right direction at least. Last financial year, both the accounts were qualified. So, Madam Chair, just in terms, can I move on, Madam Chair? Yeah. Just in terms of the analysis of the blue drop, you'll see that in terms of our scoring, and this is a 2013 scoring, that Gauteng had an average of a 90.6% score on the blue drop. This is water, sorry. This is the water one. And Western Cape had an 88%. So they're the two, and KZN are the three top performing provinces. The areas that we worry about, and this is why Northwest has a particular program which we have to implement there. Northwest, you'll see their score is, average score is 38%, which indicates that there's a major intervention that has to go in into Northwest, which we are working on at the moment. Give me the green drop. Just go back there, sorry. Yes, sorry, and in Mpumalanga, yeah. Got the green drop. Okay. Is that the one? Okay, is there another slide? Okay. Is that the one? No, it's not the one. Another slide. Another slide. I'm battling to find the slide, ma'am. There we go, okay. There we go. Okay, that's it. Next slide. No. I can't find the slide I'm looking for. Yeah. Madam Chair, there's a slide I have, and I'll make sure that we circulate it to you. It just shows the green drop scores across on a provincial basis. And currently, on the green drop side, the two provinces that perform the best is the Gauteng and Western Cape. And the one of the worst performing provinces, again, is Northwest, being a poorly performing province. And we also, when we engaged with Free State just a week ago, there's quite a lot of support that needs to go into the Free State as well. But we're using that green drop as a basis for us to identify where the critical areas are for us to go in and intervene. And that work will also be taken in through the basic services IMC as well. We'll take that work back into that as well. My apology that I just can't find the slide at the moment, Madam Chair.
Well, thank you very much, DG. Honourable Minister, unfortunately I will not give you an opportunity just to wrap up. So can I give members an opportunity to interact with the presentation?
But as indicated earlier, that because of time, we will allow the department to respond. We'll send the questions to the department and they will respond in writing. I don't know, and I'm after thoughts from that side. Are you fine?
Oh, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. Let me also take the opportunity to thank the department for a comprehensive presentation. I think it was actually well detailed and it actually covered most of the issues that we wanted to raise. But nevertheless, I've got one clarity seeking question. The DG has indicated in his presentation that for an example, the department allocates a certain funding to the different municipalities appointed or approved by cabinet, the municipal infrastructure grant. Now, that in itself, if the municipality is not spending what has been allocated to them, it affects the department to maybe get a clean audit or a better audit results. Now, I want to know from the DG, what is it that the department is doing? Actually, if in instances where the money has been allocated but is not spent accordingly, what does the department do? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Just to say, I compliment the interventions on the death of the babies. If I could just, DG, ask what are the time frames for the budget investigations? Secondly, Minister, just to say the collaboration between your department and health in terms of water and sanitation, is there any collaboration in terms of your initiatives that was implemented? Also, I'm of the idea that water should be saved and children should be taught how to save water. Is there any initiatives that you're doing together with basic education to educate the learners about water wise? I thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Let me join Honorable Stock on welcoming the presentation by the department. Mine, Chair, I don't think it's a question, but because the Minister department in the first EM Kalukuma, Mizawam can vote in the Wokuba, the Okanukami department. He is our 30% of Anani Bakube corner, time frame. Also, in the 80s, there is a project, Honorable Deputy Minister, Mzubu project. He was the stage. Can the department provide a report to the committee? Not now, but a full report on the Muslim Bubu project. That's all on my side. Also.
Thanks, sir. No, I don't have a question, sir. It's just a comment. Your war on leaks. If you can intensify it with the war on illegal connections. There was a time, I think last year, when you launched this, especially to the commercial farms, and you did some disconnections. I was not aware before the chairperson that water can be stolen to that extent. So if you can intensify on that one.
Hey, Chair. Thank you very much. There is improvement because departments now are coming. I'm talking about the political heads are coming, are honoring our city. Thank you very much, Minister and Deputy Minister, with the entourage. We don't have much to say, DG. I've got a little bit of a concern. I am from Limpopo province. I can mention a few of the dams that we have in Limpopo, like Vishielo, Dihop, Namita, Bantone Dam, but we have got a very serious crisis of water supply. If maybe the department can put a hammer on a nail in municipalities, because I think
most of the challenges are at municipalities in the department of infrastructure, I mean technical and community services. If we can just sit down and show them that we need indeed to move forward for the department to have a clean audit, though it is still growing, but we need to be focused all of us. And I don't know about the relaxation of legislation in terms of, for example, Alice Mosaledi towards and Ephraim Khali. How about also allowing them to become water authorities, because there are some locations in them. I'm not sure about that, but I just want to check whether it is possible, because we have got a lot of crisis in terms of water. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I also do want to appreciate the presentation. It was very, very comprehensive and informative. However, my comments around the issue of planning, I found from experience that the reconfiguration of the Department of Human Settlements, I think, was with a view to ensuring that when a person is given a house, there is water, there is electricity, and all the other facilities, educational health, and so on. Now, what one finds on the ground is that water is being reticulated to go that direction. Houses are developed in that direction, meaning the district and the local municipalities are not planning together in terms of the provision of the bulk infrastructure. That is my one concern as to how can you assist in that regard. The other question is, I heard you talk about the dams there during the presentation. In Mkhanyabude district, in KZN, there is that big Josini Dam. But my problem has always been, I don't see the people of the district benefiting from that dam. What plans are there by the department to ensure that those people are relieved of the pressure of not having water at all? Yet the dam is very big and it is just close by. Thank you. Minister is laughing. She knows this.
Thank you very much, honorable members, and also join my colleagues that the state of preparedness, honorable minister and the deputy minister, is really appreciated. You answer questions even before they are asked. You leave us with very little to comment, but also to appreciate work done by the department, because for us as people coming from the provinces, representing provinces, you can see the direct benefit of the communities at the ground, unlike talking about projects that will be done at national and provincial level. But the projects that we are dealing with are benefiting communities directly to the communities. But looking at the importance of the department, if you look at the protests, most of the protests that we had, honorable minister, in the country, I think almost about 99% of them were around water. And you look at the budget allocated to the department, for me, it's not speaking to what people want. The Department of Water Affairs indicated in order for a delivery of water services, I think it was a proposal last financial year, that for the department to provide water, you need 570 billion, which I agree with you. Really, if you look at it from the government point of view, water should be priority number one, because that's what people want, and it's a basic need. How, I'm asking the wrong people, because you're not giving yourself this budget, but I'm going to ask you, what are you doing about this? Because we've got to deal with issues of water. How are we going to get that money in order to deal with this issue of water? You see, I'm not saying we'll have a peaceful mind if we have water, but once you deal with water issues, you will have minimum protest in the country. We really do need this. If we are to assist in terms of motivating that you get more money,
and also the manner in which the department is spending money. 62% of the budget is going direct to the people. I think that is what is expected from service delivery at departments. The other matter is on your water sector regulation program. It's a priority there, which I agree with you. But if you look at the budget, there is a decrease of 2.2%. Is it 2.2 billion? But yeah, million. The question now is, how are you going to do that? It's a very important function, because one, my understanding is that one of the things that you're supposed to do is what she was asking about, unregistered dams. There are a number of unregistered dams. Some of them, it's because people are benefiting out of that. Some of them, people are saying the form, whatever, the application is very complicated. My check was that, Honourable Minister, just look at that, those unregistered dams, and see how best can we deal with that. If it falls under this department, let's relook at the budget of this unit or program so that we're able to deal with it, which is also linked, as my colleague has indicated, linked to the illegal connections. I've seen on the annexure, the list of projects that are going to be done in the next 10 years. In Mpumalanga, Mbombela is one of the biggest municipalities in terms of population, and it's also a capital. There is no dam. They don't have a dam. All smaller municipalities around have, some have two, some have three, and they still plans to do that, to build dams in other municipalities. But Mbombela does not have a dam, and it is one of the municipalities that was most affected by the protest in terms of water, especially the bulk water. There was also a program, the Nyongane scheme, by the national government. I don't see that project appearing in this budget now. I don't know what happened. And finally, Mpumalanga, Ihoshane scheme. That scheme has been in construction forever. When I joined in Mbombela 2011, it was about to be commissioned. Until to date, it has not been commissioned. And a lot of money has been pumped there to that scheme. That scheme is supposed to benefit Bushbuck Ridge, Phase 1 Makona, and in Mbombela. If we could follow up on that scheme, because we keep on pumping money. When things go wrong, they chase the consultant, they get another one. That's what has been happening in that project. If we can follow up on that, it will assist the department and the two municipalities that are supposed to be benefiting. But most importantly, is a dam in Mbombela, and the population is growing very, very fast because it's one of the growing cities in Mpumalanga. Those are my inputs on the presentation, but we really appreciate. Minister, I don't know if you want to comment just on a few issues that we have raised. Otherwise, we'll send the questions to the department.
Yes, Chair. I was saying to Minister, we're all pressed for time, and we came here at 10. Because of really the appreciation of the role of the Select Committee. We will respond in writing, it's okay. But that's to indicate that some of the issues that are raised here will only be resolved once we finalize the review of the Water Act and the Water Services Act. Because that's where you find a lot of contradictions in terms of the roles and responsibilities. Most of the protests and the challenges that you are faced with have to do with local authorities and their responsibility on water-related matters and the capacity of local government. And that's where we are beginning to engage because part of what we have also said is that throwing in money is not the solution. Going in and making the necessary interventions is the way to go. And I think post the general elections, that's how we've been going in. We don't bring in the money, but we go in directly. And even where money has been put in, we trace the money and hence our interventions on your Bloemhof, the work that we're doing in Naka, but also the rounds that we've taken. We've been to now, what, three provinces? Yeah, to three provinces. We're meeting with the premiers, MECs, and different mayors, and we reflect on the state of water and sanitation, and we work on the way forward together. And I think part of what would really help with the amendment of the two acts is to, again, elevate the significance of water as something that has to do with life, and that also requires capacity in terms of delivery. And just to raise the issues around the Honourable Member has raised on the Limpopo, including the Mbombe, part of what we have to deal with also is the attitude and assumptions by municipality. I think what has been the challenge with Mbombela has been the how Mbombela wanted to deal with water-related matters against what has happened. We've just seen in this past weekend where we had to come into Mangaung, because all along Mangaung thought it could handle matters. And I think part of what we really need to do is to open up and have everybody cooperating and being able to deal with issues. I remember at some point Mbombela had that international company that was dealing with your water related matters. And that those kind of things. So we need to deal with that. We will bring progress report on your strategic project, Zimbubu, the story of Chozini. That's what I've said to the department, that as long as people in Chozini watch over water and do not have access to that water, we can't actually say we have delivered. And hence this intervention of us being involved up to the end user, which is a household, and which in many instances has been delayed because of the role and the capacity of local government. We will deal with that. The organogram, there's no organogram yet on water and sanitation. In fact, that is under discussion. What we're functioning with now is the structure of the Department of Water. And once this is done, once the entire, remember there was a slide, DG, that was dealing with the time frame on the reorganization. Our intention is that everything must be sorted out in this financial year and we move on. And all we do is to incorporate water, sanitation and services, and then consolidate the capacity within the department. That I've spoken on the issues, and I think those are policy related matters. This assumption that every municipality has the capacity is a myth. And I think that's what we must stop, because if what we must really encourage municipalities to focus on is to collect the refuse, close the potholes, create capacity, have an engineer, deal with basic things that affect our people. But when these issues arise, because water is a constitutional right of individuals, it is the South African government that is taken to task. And hence this discussion that we have to be open and frank about, so that we don't duplicate roles and responsibilities. Lastly, I think as we will give you the detailed answers on basic education, conservation, saving of water is quite important. But awareness, very crucial. And there are programs in the department that are focusing on education, on development, on awareness, but also promotion of partnerships with different sectors. And I think it is actually beginning to be something that is exciting to communities, young and old. The Deputy Minister was in a youth summit over a number of days now in June with young people, and there's been a lot of enthusiasm on that. Illegal connections and water regulatory capacity. I think one of the things, as the chair has raised, we do have financial constraints, but we must first use this other money adequately. First, so impress on your efficient use of what you have, and it must have social impact where you deliver. Then you can justify the need to have more resources. And for me, that's the debate that one has closed in the department today. Let's not start with money. Let's start with our ability, so that then we can then justify. Yes, we know the backlog. Yes, we know the financial constraints in terms of the rollout. But what we don't know yet is that it's clean up. And that's what we must first deal with, including the audit queries that we have raised. But from where I'm seated, I think there's hope. If you look at just the evolution of the department and its audit outcomes. But as long as we get a qualified, there's no justification, because there are people employed to deal with these issues, and there's an administration that exists. But I think given an opportunity, we can move beyond where the department is. There is potential. We'll present the written responses. We'll come specifically, possibly, to come and deal with all these major projects, your Namitwa, your Umzimvubu, Etozini. I've said the next management meeting, we're going to have it in Etozini, so that people can see how people live in that area. And their funnel even with both to open so far. So we'll do that. I'm not sure if the DM wants to comment.
Thank you very much, Chair. Chair, much has been said by the Minister, but one thing that we said we will do is to visit all provinces. We visited three at the moment, but our intention is to go to all provinces, including Umzimvubu. We will be visiting. At the moment, we are depending on reports, and we don't want to depend on reports. We want to go there ourselves and check. And I think what needs to be done at the moment is oversight of municipalities, because they are failing us. Exactly. Thank you very much, Chair Sister.
Thank you very much, Chair, Honorable Minister, Deputy Minister, Acting DG, and the team who will join you in this purpose of making sure that our people do get water, especially on the oversight area. Just to indicate to us so that we don't go to one area, all of us really go this direction, we go to the other direction, so that at the end of the day we complement each other. Thank you very much again for your time, and we are hoping that we will have enough time. It's an important function, as I said earlier, that we cannot just go through it. We need to give ourselves time, so that we are sure what we want to achieve. Thank you very much for your time. Honorable members, I'm sorry for keeping you long. You know the importance of the department. Yeah. Yeah. The we're supposed to approve our minutes. We will. There is a meeting for education. You know that we're one team. Immediately when they finish their business, we'll then adopt our own minutes. Thank you very much. Yeah, tomorrow, yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. coffee's left over.
No.
Oh, cool. Thank you. Because we've also run out of coffee and there's no coffee. I'm falling asleep now after that. Thank you so much.
Oh, dan is het gewoonlijk een. Is het
hij?
Is het
hij? Ja. Is het
Daar kan niemand.